A Story Publishing presents Cultivating Chaos. Prologue. Late spring, year 2020-something, Sycamore Lane, one of those Midwestern cul-de-sacs where birdsong ricochets off vinyl siding and the scent of cut grass hangs over every mailbox. On the north side stands a plain split level with shutters the color of decaf coffee. Behind its screened porch waits a backyard of unremarkable turf, 10 steps wide, 11 deep, bordered by chain link and the low drone of traffic from County Road 15. Nothing here hints at incoming trouble, yet the air already quivers with it. Roster, in brief flashes. Ed Carter, 59, taps a pen against his palm the way others tap cigarettes. After 23 years keeping 4 freight warehouses on schedule, he craves one thing, order he can touch, row upon row of heirloom tomatoes marching like obedient soldiers. Flaw, the same itch for control that earned him bonuses, now throttles his ability to breathe. Mara Carter, hospice nurse and seasoned realist, measures life by pulse, not spreadsheets. Her drive is simple, quiet evenings, shared meals, enough sunlight for basil on the sill. Flaw, patience can harden into resignation. She sometimes smooths crises instead of naming them. Dylan Kim, 24, garden center clerk in a neon apron, thrives on beginner enthusiasm. He pushes seeds with the zeal of a startup evangelist. Flaw, optimism outruns experience. His advice occasionally sounds like rainbow-colored guesses. Mrs. Soledad Alvarez, 71, retired chemistry teacher, rules the adjacent lot. Neon gloves, straw visor, notebooks filled with data on pH and moon phases. Her drive is empirical triumph. Flaw, competitive streak a mile wide. She would grade your compost if you let her. And somewhere beneath the shed, a sleek, deliberate groundhog, unnamed, unfazed, whose lone objective is calories. Its flaw is no flaw at all. It simply doesn't recognize fence lines or human pride. Backdrop and stakes. Sycamore Lane's soil is a reluctant mix of clay and bottle caps, but Ed has declared it his second act. The corporate world never let him miss a deadline. Surely a few seedlings will obey a timetable. Mara hopes the hobby will unclench his shoulders. Dylan sees a loyal customer. Mrs. Alvarez sees a potential rival, and if she's honest, a promising lab partner. Only the groundhog sees free lunch. Yet rumor already flits over fences. Last season, a raccoon cleaned out 3 gardens in one night. Somebody's motion sensor sprinklers shorted and fried the petunias. The hardware store sold out of chicken wire before Memorial Day. Small omens, easily dismissed. Ed dismisses none of them, he just files each away, future line items on an invisible ledger. Foreshadow, windsock on Ed's porch twist squealing against its hook, storm coming or just restless air? A scrap of blue frosting paper blows from a trash can down the block and sticks to his shoe. Good luck, in smudged icing, half an omen, half a joke. At the garden center, Dylan teases, first bite of a Cherokee purple and you'll swear off supermarkets. Mrs. Alvarez, overhearing, mutters, only if the critters swear off you. Nearby, a low, hollow tunnel mouth gapes beneath the back fence, just wide enough for mischief. None of the humans notice. The groundhog does. Clean handoff. Inside the split level, an alarm will chirp at 6 a.m. Ed's tie hangs ready. The sheet cake order sits in an HR inbox. Fluorescent lights are waiting to flicker. In a few hours, he'll shake hands, pocket a novelty mug, and walk into sunlight that feels larger than the sky he's worked under for decades. For now, the yard lies still, grass trembling only when a faint breath of dawn slides through. The moment he steps out of that office, every beat of this quiet suburb will start counting toward the first tomato, toward victory, or toward the soft, unstoppable chewing beneath the basil. The garden, the neighbor, the marriage, the groundhog, all poised like pieces on a board, waiting for the opening move. End of prologue. The sheet cake was too small, frosted in wild electric blue, and barely large enough for 12 slices, let alone the legacy of an operations manager who'd kept 4 warehouses running on time for 23 years. Good luck, Ed. Drooped across the top in jittery script, the handiwork of whichever intern had drawn the short straw. Beneath a prison of humming fluorescence, Ed Carter, never Eddie, stood with steady posture and tried not to flinch as the crowd clapped. The cake knife felt ambiguous in his grip, not quite celebratory, not quite ceremonial. People gathered in clusters of two or three, hands clasped, voices hushed under the stoic hum of the AC. Someone doused the lights. The Blanc wall transformed with a slideshow, grainy snapshots, budget charts, company picnics, Ed in a sagging Santa hat at the 2007 toy drive. Each photo lingered a second too long. Near the door, Janice from HR balanced a stack of gift bags, her face pinched in cheerfulness. She approached with a mug sporting the company logo, and now I have no excuse to be late for tea time. Ed cradled it carefully, thumbs skating the glaze as if memorizing this awkward artifact might root him. The applause faded. He cleared his throat, pen already tapping against his palm. Well, beat. I suppose the warehouses will muddle through, so long as no one gets ambitious with the forklift schedule. He was rewarded with the thin ripple of laughter reserved for safe jokes at work gatherings. Thanks for the carbohydrates and all. He portioned out cake, distributing sticky rectangles that left blue stains on napkins and fingertips. Conversation immediately bent back to revenue projections, and emails pinged from half-open laptops. Across the room, someone's phone trilled the Avengers theme. Ed lingered, methodically stacking the leftover plates, more for something to do than any sense of responsibility. Janice, lingering with him, tried for encouragement. Take a swing at something fun, Ed. Go wild. You've earned it. Her smile strained at the edges, betraying worry for her own future farewell. He offered a curt nod, hiding the sharpness in his chest. The elevator stuttered its descent. Ed watched his reflection slip and double in brushed steel, the same slant of hair combed into rank-and-file order, the same shoulders that had sagged toward resilience, not defeat. The new mug weighed heavier without an audience. Outside, June's sun pressed against the pavement, heat rising in mirages above the parking lot's white lines. He squinted across to his dust-flecked Camry, tossed the mug into the passenger seat, and buckled in. His GPS chirped. Home, 21 minutes by the usual route. Before he'd driven a half mile, his hands hesitated at the wheel. A green sign blinked by. Wildwood Garden Center, 0.8 mi. He let the right turn happen. The drive required no discussion. Wildwood's lot brimmed with battered pickups and whispering minivans. Dirt mingled with wildflower perfume, where bags of mulch slouched together, forming a fort against the usual world. For the first time that day, Ed drew a breath, not filtered through pleated paper or necessity, soil and tiny bitter tomato leaves, something sharp and green, filling his lungs. Stepping inside, Ed was boxed in by towering metal shelves crowded with packets. Cherokee purples rendered glossy and plump, cucumbers brandishing names like Marketmore, nasty marigolds with promises etched in yellow. The young clerk appeared all at once, apron acid green, ponytail kinked from a careless morning. His name tag, Dylan, labels peeling. Hey there, looking for anything in particular or just escaping civilization? Dylan's voice bounced with a practiced optimism, but his grin was genuine. Apparently, Ed said dryly, I'm going to garden. Dylan grinned wider. That's the dream. Tomatoes are what gets folks, 9 times out of 10. Want to go simple or bold? He didn't wait for a reply, slapping a colorful packet into Ed's palm. Cherokee purple. Can't get these at a chain. First bite, and you'll swear off supermarkets. Ed squinted at the illustration, its tomatoes dusky and strange. Looks bruised. Is that right? Real flavor's always a little rough-looking, Dylan said, and started plucking more. Basil Genovese, French breakfast radishes, sun-bright marigolds. These keep bugs away and look awesome. Two birds, one flower. They rounded the aisle where gardening gloves hung in single pairs, faded from too many fluorescent mornings. Dylan fingered a pair. Treat yourself. Brand new. Smell that leather? Perfect for your first badge of honor blister. Ed tried them on, flexing his hands to the creek. Dylan glanced at the impulse rack. Ever try one of these? He held up a neon orange stress ball. Quarter-inch foam, small comfort, big difference. Use it as a kneeling pad, or when you're tempted to throw a trowel. Seeing it, so like the one that had dented his desk through years of mergers, Ed almost smiled. Let's see if orange still brings me luck. Ed trailed the younger man, feigning comparison of soil bags, while Dylan filled his arms with organic, triple-screened dirt and a battered trowel. The shopping cart threatened to list sideways. We're running a compost bin workshop Saturday. Small group, beginner friendly. Dylan's voice trailed after him as Ed stared at the register, tallying items without calculating cost. Outside, the world snapped into sharper focus, light suddenly brighter, air thick with a brewing storm. Ed loaded the trunk with the urgency of a man securing assets. He arranged the seed packets in neat columns on the back seat, color-coded as if auditing an inventory. His phone buzzed, a text from Mara. A photo, her feet bare, perched atop their front porch railing, a stemmed glass sweating rings on the faded wood. "Hurry home, Farmer Carter," he sent back. "ETA 30. Need gas. What are we eating?" Her reply, a winking emoji then. "Surprise." Ed redirected his path, rolling into a half-lit gas station. He filled his tank while the sinking sun turned the pump handle iridescent and gnats circled his shadow. As the tank clicked full, he caught himself humming a tune he hadn't heard in years. In the window's reflection, the lines at his eyes seemed younger. He washed insect grit from the windshield, returning the squeegee to its slot with a satisfaction that caught him off guard. The attendant inside the booth didn't look up. Home came into view with the familiar bend of neighborhood maples. Their house, a plain split level, drowsing under the late sun, looked both ordinary and weighted with promise. He pulled into the drive. Mara was waiting, apron dusted with flour, waving her rolling pin like a wand. "So, this is what freedom looks like?" she called as he stepped out, arms full. "I may have gotten carried away," Ed answered, trying to balance three bags and the stress ball, which promptly tumbled to the walk. Mara stooped to retrieve it, tossing it up and down once. "Approved," she grinned. "I used something like this during my ICU rotation for hand cramps, or to throw at doctors." He slumped the bags on the kitchen table. Together, they unpacked. Glassine seed packets, the gloves, the odd bulb, a trowel with an improbably ergonomic handle. Mara arranged the seeds into lazy, overlapping arcs, eyebrows arching when she sounded out each name. "Mortgage lifter? You're keeping your brand tight, Ed." "It's a legacy buy. Some farmer sold enough of those tomatoes to pay off the farm during the Depression. Figures you'd go for a security blanket in fruit form." Her laugh softened, the easy music of familiarity. She nodded to the kitchen. "Dinner's almost done. Shower, then table. Otherwise you'll smell like a mulch pile." He rinsed off, trading the boardroom's invisible armor for a faded t-shirt. When he returned, plates waited by the open window, spaghetti under a halo of asparagus, lemon, and the staccato cut of black pepper. Outside, dusk pressed violet onto the yard. They ate quietly, knees touching, forks scraping shallow curves in the bowls. Ed squinted at the edge of grass where tomorrow's plan would take root. Mara's gaze followed. "You keep looking like you're about to issue marching orders," she teased, eyelines deepening with her smile. "Just plotting." He rolled the stress ball between his hands. "This goes there. That one's a border for the marigolds. I think." She fiddled with the hem of her shirt, watching him. "You know gardens don't follow schedules, right?" He raised an eyebrow. "I survived 20 fiscal calendars. I'm due for something unpredictable." She grinned and reached for his hand, squeezing it once. "You keep telling yourself that." Dishes cleared and kitchen lights dimmed. Ed retreated to his study. He cleared space on the desk beside his decommissioned laptop, lining the seed packets edge to edge, determinates to the left, indeterminates right, then the basil and radishes squared off by color. The stress ball sat square in the middle like a linchpin. He snapped a photo and sent it to Dylan. Recruitment's done. The reply came quick. 3 green sprouts and a thumbs up. Night burrowed in. Through the cracked window, a drift of crickets folded over the room, blending with the tick of an old office clock he'd earned for 15 years of exemplary service. Ed undressed, folding clothes along crisp seams, easing into bed beside Mara, who was already half-dozing. She shifted closer, her hair tickling his jaw. Tiller Rental opens at 9. Want to make it a date? He grunted assent, eyelids thick with fatigue, letting the silence lengthen. In his mind, rows of tomato vines stretched across black soil, perfectly staked and heavy with fruit. Order at last, measured and growing. A breeze worked the screen, flickering the scent of earth and the memory of grass. A small, living note. In that liminal space before sleep, Ed's pulse slowed, surrendering to hope. The world, he believed, would finally answer to him. Just this once. He drifted, dreamless, into the promise of morning. Ed woke before the alarm, the pale square of dawn already tilting across the ceiling. For a moment, he listened to the hush of a Saturday that belonged only to them. No freight schedules, no half-past midnight calls about missing inventory, just birds warming up beyond the window and the faint, peppery exhale of Mara dreaming beside him. At 6:30, he eased out of bed, careful not to disturb her. By the time the coffee maker began its slow percussion, Mara padded in, hair ropey in a quick knot, t-shirt hitched untidily into her jeans. "Morning, farmer," she mumbled around a yawn, commandeering the first mug. "Tiller still opens at 9? She asked, eyes squinting against the kitchen light. "According to their website," Ed replied, sliding his phone across the counter. A text from Dylan, the ever-upbeat garden center clerk, blinked with too many emojis. "Don't forget 10W40 for the beast. Fuel tank leaks if the cap's loose." "Have fun," Mara smirked. "Kids as excited as you are." "He's earning commission on my delusions." They ate toast over the sink, each brushing crumbs into the drain. Beyond the glass, the backyard glimmered, a slab of unremarkable grass, boxed in by chain link, with 4 orange flags marking Ed's ambition. He'd used the retired office labeler to make those. Now, seeing them in the waking light, a private fizz ran through him. The rental yard sat tucked behind a hardware store that always smelled of motor oil and cedar. The clerk, grizzled beard, Dunkin' cup, no time for chit-chat, slid paperwork and keys across the counter. Mara bent beside the tiller, prodding the blades. "Wobbly drive shaft," she observed, voice low. Ed matched her tone. Not planning to break the sound barrier, they rolled the tiller home, rattling in the bed of the Camry. Wrestled off the truck, nearly wrenching Ed's back, they muscled the thing to the plot. When the engine finally coughed to life, the vibration clattered bones loose. Ed gripped the handles, knuckles white, and let the blades tear strips of sod. Loam unfurled dark and crumbly, smelling of minerals and the tang of rain. Row after row, he carved order into the earth. Mara followed with a rake, shaking out bottle caps and knotted roots like she was combing the snags from a child's hair. By noon, the sun drilled straight overhead. Ed's shirt was soaked, the new leather gloves already chafing blisters along the crease of his hand. Mara flicked sunblock on his nose, a nursing move with zero ceremony. At 2, they killed the engine. The rectangle lay raw and beautiful, dirt-flecked, worm-casted, expectant. Ed bit back the urge to declare something official. Instead, he nudged Mara's shoulder, and she nudged back. While Mara wrangled the tiller into the car for return, Ed pressed cedar stakes into the ground, lining them up in a grid that soothed something accountant deep inside him. He tied cotton string between them, cross-hatching the soil in tidy lanes, audit trails in earth. Each stake went exactly 7 inches down, as prescribed by Dylan's stapled printout. Then Ed set the trays of seedlings along the rows, leaves fluttering like nervous interns about to start a first job. He was still fussing with plant tags when a crisp, "Buenos dias, Carter," sailed over the fence. Ed straightened, dusting soil from his knees. Mrs. Alvarez leaned over her raised beds, a supernova of green, with neon pink gloves up to her wrists and silver hair fizzing wild beneath a straw visor. Her apron was stitched with tiny periodic tables, half dirt, half dye. "Morning," Ed replied, trying for neighborly but landing somewhere closer to caught off guard. She surveyed his grid with a scientist's careful skepticism. "Your spacing, 12 inches on center?" 14, where the roots got uppity," Ed replied, sarcasm sharp before he could rein it in. She made a note in a battered pocket notebook. "Margin of error matters, Carter. Roots bicker if they're crowded." Her words sounded like instruction, not judgment, a teacher in perpetuity. He swallowed, as a buffer. "Taking a page from your, research." A glimmer of approval or amusement shaped her mouth. "Good. Basil is Switzerland." She vanished among her climbing beans. Ed felt absurdly marked, as if his whole garden had been graded. Over 3 rapid weeks, routine took root. Mondays began with the hose unreeling, water gushing from a battered can. Tuesdays, they harvested the smallest radish, still tasting of cool clay, eaten there and then. Wednesdays brought kneeling aches, dirt ground under Ed's fingernails long after washing, a half-secret badge. Evenings belonged to beer on the steps, exchanging Latin names and half-mythical gardening tricks. Mara's story started with, "When we lost half the acre to armyworms," while Ed parried with Dylan's folklore, marigolds for nematodes, Irish spring for raccoons. Sometimes both were wrong, and they laughed at the arrogance of control. By the 4th Saturday, sugar snap peas curled bold and high, tomatoes flared yellow blooms, cautious but implacable. Ed scribbled stats in a spiral notebook, height, leaf count, projected yield, little calculations that felt like ballast. "Proud of yourself, old man," Mara called from the porch, arms crossed, one bare foot nudging the stairs. He stretched, grinned. "We'll close this quarter with record earnings." She handed him iced tea, condensation already puddling. "Don't get cocky. Auditors always show up at harvest." Sunset painted their shoulders. Mara fetched the garden gnome, a squat ceramic figure in overalls, setting him by the marigolds. "Guardian of the ledger," she announced with mock gravity. Ed looked the gnome up and down. "Looks like a man who lost receipts in the wash." That night, thunder stalked the horizon. Rain tapped the roof just past midnight, steady and relentless. Ed surrendered to sleep, waking content with the notion that nature, for now, was an ally. 2 mornings later, disaster struck. Ed meandered into the dawn, breathing in the cooled air, cup warm in his hand. The backyard should have glistened, serene as a spreadsheet in balance. Instead, the mulch path was scattered with torn leaves, shredded, green confetti after a celebration no one had wanted. One tomato, once proud and upright, sagged at a broken angle, another uprooted entirely, its roots laced in new mud. He crouched, heart jabbing his ribs. Only after a few stunned seconds did he notice the sharp little mark. On the gnome's red hat, a single muddy paw print, splayed wide and deliberate. The fence rattle pulled his gaze up. Mrs. Alvarez appeared, wrapped in a terry cloth robe and yellow galoshes. In her hand, she held a half-destroyed zucchini leaf. "Ay, lo siento. He came to you too." "Groundhog?" Ed's voice was smaller than he'd intended. She nodded, half-weary, half-satisfied by her diagnosis. "Big appetite for Solanaceae. Tomatoes above all. I tried everything. Ultrasonic steaks, citrus peels, he's a bureaucrat in fur." Ed picked up a bit of broken stem, rolled it between his thumb and finger, feeling the injury more than seeing it. "Any tricks left?" She shrugged. "Luck, maybe, or a very lazy terrier. Otherwise, hope he's easily bored." Inside, Mara was at the counter slicing oranges. She registered Ed's hunched stance before he spoke. "How bad?" she asked, setting the knife aside. He set his jaw. "First audit, failed." She leaned in, kneading the towel's hem between her hands. "We can replant, Ed." He stared past her, jaw rigid. "It's not just the loss. I put everything in the right place." She reached, squeezing his wrist once. Solid, grounding. Sometimes things break for reasons that aren't personal. He gathered his keys with a tight nod, escaping instead of answering. Wildwood Garden Center's bell chimed, a shrill, familiar summons. Dylan materialized from behind a rack of rain barrels, his badge tilted and smudged with soil. "Oof, you got raided?" Dylan's voice hopped from sympathy to optimism in the space of a breath. "Tomato massacre." Ed wasn't ready for forced cheer. Dylan nodded sagely. "Groundhogs are the worst. Grandpa swore by cayenne, but I think it just spiced the barbecue." He steered Ed toward the pest control section, pulling down mesh rolls, motion lights, and bags of vaguely threatening granules. The packaging promised miracles. The prices suggested sacrifices. Ed fingered a roll of galvanized mesh, skeptical. "I doubt Mr. Gopher will be deterred. At least you'll feel like you tried." Dylan offered a small pouch. "Carrot seeds. Early sprouting, critters hate the tops, on the house, man." Ed bought two rolls of mesh and a set of motion lights that beeped with a misplaced sense of triumph. Driving home, the wire shed grit in his lap, catching on his skin each time he shifted. He imagined himself threading an endless maze. Defense, retreat, repair. They spent the afternoon performing backyard triage. Ed clipped back gnawed vines and staked limp seedlings deeper. Mara knelt quietly, smoothing soil around roots with persistent, patient hands. The air between them thickened, neither tense nor easy, edged with a private sense of loss. Sunset bled across the fence. Mara pointed toward the gnome. He crouched for a closer look. The muddy paw print had dried, the lines crisp, the audacity almost charming. He couldn't help the bitter smile that twisted his mouth. After dinner, Ed retreated to the kitchen with a sheet of graph paper, the grid lines crisp under his thumb. Every shift of his weight made the kitchen chair squeak, a small rodent protest. Mara brewed chamomile, setting a mug down by his elbow before heading upstairs. He sharpened a pencil and got to work. Sketched chicken wire fences, buried a foot deep, flared wire skirts, pinwheels clattering in the wind. He penciled in pepper borders, solar-activated sprinklers, provisional escape hatches. Margins filled up with cost calculations and arrows looping from one desperate scheme to the next. Outside, motion lights snapped on, jittering across the yard in nervous choreography. Ed paused, staring into the blue-lit dark. The garden looked alien, all sharp edges and shadows. When the pencil rolled from his fingertips and clinked against the cup, it startled him into stillness. He studied the blueprints, dense, defensive, more fortress than sanctuary. At the very center, Ed carved out a small circle. He labeled it Plan B, and for now, left it empty. Somewhere out there, a groundhog was probably sleeping off a tomato feast, oblivious and satisfied. Ed closed the notebook, exhaling through his teeth. Tomorrow he'd draw again. And tomorrow, he might find a way to win or just keep playing. Either way, the real negotiations had begun. Ed woke to dull winter light and the odor of rain-soaked cardboard, the house still heavy with last night's storm. Gutter water tapped and dripped in unpredictable rhythms, turning the block into a percussion section. The air inside held a chill, and the vague tang of decaying receipts. He could almost imagine old file folders left out too long. He slipped from bed, leaving Mara cocooned under the quilt, breathing slow and even. Down the hall, the kitchen table bristled with evidence. His battered notebook, residue of eraser dust from too much redrafting, and last night's graph paper schematic for Operation Groundhog. The plan was already a patchwork. Defensive lines, chicken-scratched arrows, calculations. Ed sat hard in his chair. His pen, cold from disuse, tapped absently against his palm. He opened his laptop, resistance caving to ritual, and conjured a new spreadsheet. A table glared at him. Column A, date. B, time. Location of incursion. Damage. E, countermeasure. He titled the file GH Log V1, and as the cursor blinked, felt the odd slackening relief of a man returning to familiar battles, no matter how petty. Outside, dawn contended with low clouds, the yard slowly emerging from murk. Torn leaves freckled the beds. Ed poured coffee, black and burnt, and shouldered outside into wet air, notebook under his arm, slippers already wicking up dew. At 6:07 he wrote, suspect absent. Evidence of burrowing near stake number 7. Just the facts, clean and orderly. Mara joined him soon after, mug cupped in both hands. She scanned the new rows of garden fence, then the notebook. Her expression softened the way an old shirt does, well-worn, edged with fond exasperation. You going full auditor on him now? Her voice was soft, pitched against the morning so it wouldn't break the peace. Ed barely turned. You can't manage what you don't measure. She let the moment stand, just steam and birdsong stretching the silence. The wait wasn't anger exactly, more the hush before a branch lets go under snow. By mid-morning, Ed was bristling with purpose. He'd driven out for galvanized chicken wire, returned with a roll so heavy it might anchor a dock, and set to work. The wire bit into his palms each time he yanked it taut against the stakes, cutting neat crosshatch grooves that stung when rainwater found them. Midday heat pressed in, thick with the scent of muddied grass and metal. Mara knelt in her own quadrant, humming what might have been an old hymn or simply the tune of patience. Once or twice, she offered a hand with the roll, but Ed shook his head, jaw knotted, insisting on seeing the thing through himself. He wouldn't say why. When Fort Knox finally stood, mesh a foot deep, corners neatly stapled, Ed stepped back, chest heaving. Sweat streaked his forehead, dirt ringed his wrists, but the borderline sat straight as a drawn ledger. Mara stood, brushing dirt from her knee, and surveyed his handiwork with both eyebrows arched. He's not getting through that, she pronounced. Groundhog'll need a tunnel permit. It's solid, Ed replied, unblinking. No more freebies. Lunch was 15 minutes of silent gratitude, peanut butter, apples sliced thin, crumbs traced from plate to napkin. Ed watched the garden the entire time. After, he updated the spreadsheet. Fence complete, status secure, supplies restocked. The afternoon stilled into a summer hush, mowers humming two lawns over. Mara drifted through the room, ran a hand over his shoulder, and offered nothing but presence. That night, thunder again, as though the world insisted on sequel. Dawn found Ed in boots, prowling the yard. The garden, meant to be inviolate, wore new wounds. Three tomato plants gnawed to naked green, tunnels lined up beneath the fence like subway entrances. A neat mound of fresh earth showed where the chicken wire met its match. He shut his eyes. The taste of iron bloomed on his tongue, the pen gripped to white in his fist. In the log he wrote, date 6/23. Damage, plants number 12 and 14/15 destroyed. Moral, unsub persists. Mrs. Alvarez chose that moment to call over the fence, her voice both neighborly and cutting. Carter, you've been out-engineered by a rodent with a PhD. She lifted her watering can high, a ceremonial toast, before vanishing among vines. By noon, Ed was scouring product reviews and pest forums. He found his running favorite, a motion-activated sprinkler, currently on two-day express. The vendor page flickered with testimonials, one featuring a soaked family dog, another with a selfie of a triumphant customer mid-hose. The sprinklers arrived during lunch. The box so garish, Mara shielded her eyes and read the specs aloud. 35-foot range, 1.7 seconds between detections. Harmless to wildlife, she intoned, mock solemnity at war with her smile. Assembly became a minor campaign, the hose connections ratcheting with each turn. As dusk fell, mosquitoes whined and garden lights blinked on behind Mrs. Alvarez's house. Commence testing, Ed said, satisfied. Mara watched from the steps, arms folded. You sure you want a beta test in that shirt? He laughed, a short, brittle sound. Together, they crept along the newly fortified line. Mara read instructions, flashlight wedged between her teeth. Set sensitivity between 3 and 5. Not max, unless you want to irrigate Cleveland. With the flick of a switch, the system went live. It took less than 3 minutes for Ed to get drenched. He'd stepped back, admiring the arc, when a sensor read him as a threat and blasted him full in the chest. He staggered backward with a startled yelp, rain-soaked and stripped of dignity. Mara burst out laughing, rich and delighted, as Ed peeled his shirt away like old wallpaper. "Guess you're the wildlife now," she managed. He grinned despite it all, shivering. "Just call me Intruder, Species, Carter." But soon enough, both of them were in the line of fire. A ricocheting spray caught Mara mid-taunt. They sprinted to the porch, breathless, towels wrapped like surrender flags. Inside, they swapped sodden clothes for dry. Mara's voice, tentative, found him as he fiddled with a settings dial. "Ed, this is getting a little..." She let the words drift, kneading the hem of her shirt between her thumb and finger. He stared at the floor. "Just need a little more tuning. That's all." She watched him, long and still, then walked toward the laundry room carrying their damp truce. That night, the backyard performed its own ballet, sprinklers clicking, swinging, then bursting into defense over nothing. Even through closed windows, Ed heard each splash, registered every shudder of the hose, counting failures the way accountants count unreturned calls. Days blurred. The showpiece sprinklers proved merciless. Moths and blowing leaves triggered them, and Ed's water bill ballooned. Roses, left in the crossfire, withered under the onslaught. Mara stared down the latest bill one sticky breakfast and slid it across the table with 2 fingers, voice too calm not to cut. "This is up 30%, she said. He thumbed the edge in silence, jaw flexing. "I'll dial it back tonight." Mara set her mug down, fully facing him for the first time that morning. "I'm not just talking about the sprinkler." He let each word settle, staring past the table to the white glare of the open yard. Minutes later, Ed was in the basement scanning obscure pest control forums. Names like Whistlepig Conqueror 72 and Rodent Wrangler 99 debated the pros and cons of live catch traps, their avatar photos always featuring captured animals and thumbs up. The consensus was clear: bait with apple, celery salt, maybe peanut butter for the truly stubborn. Humane, efficient, still a war, just waged with softer edges. Ed filled his cart, 3 brands, one with a guaranteed most humane badge. Estimated delivery ranged anywhere from 2 days to a week. One supplier posted a bright red, regional shipping delays may occur. He hesitated, chewing his lip, then left the cart open on his desktop. That evening, after dinner, Ed brewed another pot of coffee, black and astringent as midnight oil. The clock spun up past 10. Mara, in the hallway, found him at the percolator. "You're going out there?" she asked, arms crossed, uncertain if she should laugh or worry. He tried a light answer, but it sounded hollow. "Just logging data. See if he prefers basil or beans." She leaned in, her hand finding his elbow. "Don't forget the porch light. I'll be upstairs reading. Yell if you need backup." Night pressed in as Ed stepped into the backyard. He set up a folding chair at the edge of the garden grid, flashlight clamped tight between his teeth, its metallic taste sour on his tongue. Every breeze seemed loud. Mosquitoes patrolled the swampy edges of his sleeves, and he kept a running log of every movement, a beetle at 2241, passing neighborhood cat at 2309, a moth that battered his forehead at 2322. At 2358, the garden fell perfectly still. Then, from the basil, came a rustle, small, precise, like paper, shuffled by a careful hand. Ed froze. Switching off the flashlight beam, he squinted into the darkness until a pair of eyes reflected, unblinking, gold as coin. The groundhog nosed into the open, swagger casual, fur bristled slightly damp. Ed hardly breathed. The animal sidestepped chicken wire with clockmaker precision, paused at the base of a sagged stake, the very one Ed had meant to fix. With the determined ease of someone late for an appointment, it vanished, wiggling straight through the unburied seam. "Unbelievable," Ed whispered. He tried to catch the mesh, but it only tore loose, slicing his finger. The groundhog, undeterred, lumbered toward the tomatoes, sniffed, and with insouciant grace, selected an unripe fruit. Ed, desperate, hurled his travel mug, but it sailed wide. The groundhog slipped away, leaves shivering in rebuke. Shaken, Ed slumped on the porch steps. He dabbed at the bleeding finger with the back of his sleeve, pulse pounding. Mara appeared in the doorway, cardigan pulled tight. Wordlessly, she took his hand, disinfected the wound, and wrapped a length of gauze as if fixing a child's scraped knee. "What's the endgame, Ed?" she asked, her tone soft but unyielding. He frowned at the garden, now bathed in silvery light, looking far too wild to ever bend to logic. "I used to think it was control," he said. The confession surprised even him. Mara's fingers lingered, stilling a moment on the gauze. "Maybe it's about learning partnership, not just winning." He didn't reply. The thought nagged at him, unwelcome. She kissed his bandaged hand, thumb sliding over the knot. "Come inside soon." Left alone, the yard pulsed with mosquitoes and regret. Ed returned to the blue glare of the computer, the half-finished order still on the screen. He hovered, then, heart heavy, cut stinging, pride wrung out, clicked purchase. The confirmation ping resounded in the quiet house. Ed stared at the inbox. "Order confirmed, deluxe humane trap. Est that, delivery, 3 to 5 business days." The war, it seemed, had entered a new, quieter phase. Beyond the window, the sprinklers cycled once more. A ghostly hiss, water sheeting across a stubborn patch of marigolds, as if to announce to the world, battle lines have been drawn, but truce might be possible. A delivery truck rumbled down Sycamore Lane at 7:05 a.m., its reverse beeper yelping like a frantic gull as it crawled up to the curb. Ed was already out on the porch, still in flannel pajama bottoms, coffee cupped in both hands, watching the morning threaten to spin away from him. The moment the driver's boots hit pavement, three heavy cardboard crates thudded onto the walkway, e-tronic varmint solutions stamped across each side in anxious red block letters. Mara appeared behind him, drawing her robe tight, lips pressed to a thin line that asked if this was really the new dawn they'd been promised. "It's just equipment," Ed muttered, though the sight of the boxes made him itch. Abundance always whispered of overreach. He scribbled a signature, tipped the driver a crumpled 5, and hustled the cargo straight into the garage. Mara's gaze lingered after him, unreadable. By 9, the driveway had transformed into something between a makeshift lab and a nervous carnival. Towering tripods held motion sensors aloft. Funnels and chutes in shiny mesh sprawled across the grass. Orange extension cords looped the perimeter like a nest of startled snakes. Every gadget promised strategy, but Ed's restless assembly betrayed the edge of obsession. Hood up, crouched in the shimmer of July humidity, he worked in brisk, silent bursts, double-checking battery packs, tightening clamps, fighting cords that coiled back on themselves. He christened the setup Conveyor. The name sounded harmless, plausible, almost bureaucratic, a permission slip to himself. Mara came out, squinting through the glare. "This looks less like gardening, more like an audition for America's most complicated mistakes." She steadied a wavering tripod while wiping sweat from her brow. "You sure this is helping?" Ed's pen, boardroom tick returned, tapped a staccato against his palm. "If the traps don't get him, the funnel will. It'll nudge him into Alvarez's garden. He's stubborn. He'll find his way there." The words tried for casual, the logic clanged in his ears. Mara folded her arms and shook her head, shoulders wound tight as bridge cables. "You're pushing your mess over the fence. Is that who we are?" Her fingers twisted at her sleeve hem, bracing herself. "We've tried everything else," Ed said. "I'm not hurting him, just redirecting." her eyes narrowed, gentle but steely. "And your conscience goes with him?" Before he could answer, a plaintive mow scraped from the side yard. Mr. Whisket, the orange tabby from two doors down, plodded over, tail set high. He wriggled under the mesh chute, vanished for a moment, then re-emerged, blinking in confusion but none the worse. The system worked, Ed noted with satisfaction and dismay. Mara simply sighed, disapproval plain, and walked back inside. Without her to contain it, the enthusiasm in Ed's chest soured. The operation felt slick, hollow, a balance sheet with a column hidden. Afternoon deepened and so did the heat, cicadas ratcheting in a fevered chorus. Ed hunched beside the basal, burying sensor stakes, looping wire around pickets, setting up the ridiculous contraption. At the mouth of the chute, angled precisely to spill into Mrs. Alvarez's vines, he loaded bait, apple slices, the faintest smear of peanut butter. Scientific, he decided. Impersonal. He recalibrated the sprinklers to cycle at careful intervals, unplugged half the garden lights, overload prevention, then climbed the stairs tired already, sweaty and sour, to watch from the narrow window that overlooked the battlefield. Each motion alert pinged his phone, robotic and enthusiastic. First the neighbor's cat again, then a fluttering bag, then the still streak of a cloud shadow. Nothing with heft. Twilight bled in, hot and bruised. Mara laid out dinner, farfall slick with olive oil, tender slices of tomato she'd saved from last week, and let her hand rest a little too long on the back of the empty chair. "Join me, Ed." He tore himself away from the window. Sitting, he twirled a fork, but his appetite was phony. Every click of his phone knocked loose another bite. "Retirement's supposed to be about peace, not paranoia," Mara said, a low joke with no punchline. He glanced up, saw unease pressed into the set of her jaw, the strain behind her easy smile. Before he could apologize, the phone buzzed, a thick, sustained vibration that signaled weight, not wind. Ed pushed back his chair. "He's here." Mara's sigh was long, weighted. "Ed, if you..." But he'd already bolted, sneakers half-laced, through the mudroom door. The porch lights kicked on, amber pooled and sharp. The night air steamed. By the chute, the wire cage trap rattled. Inside, brown-gray fur tumbled, claws clattering panic. The groundhog battered the bars, eyes wild, breathing hoarse. The friendly mechanism made the terror louder, not less. Ed flinched for this. The frantic scramble. The animals need hammering metal. The intent to redirect felt suddenly alive and ugly. Phase 2 cranked in. Hidden servos whined. A gate lifted, and, with engineered inevitability, the whole cage began sliding atop angled rails toward the breach in the fence. The wheels picked up speed. Ed ran, bad ankle stumbling, but his hand came down on empty air. The cage shot down the chute, rumbled through the fence, rattled pinwheels overhead. On impact, the latch popped, the door yawned open. The groundhog bolted, fur splayed, tail stiff, straight into the heart of Mrs. Alvarez's cucumbers. Delicate vines shredded, green bursting under sudden paws. Seconds behind, the security lights across the yard flared, dazzling. "Dios santo, ¿qué es esto?" Mrs. Alvarez's shout cracked the dusk. She stormed onto the lawn headlamp blazing, wielding a garden fork like a trident. In her eyes was both scientists' outrage and neighbors' betrayal. Ed tried to fade against the fence, hands raised. He faltered. It wasn't supposed to. Alvarez stabbed her fork at the torn vines. "You call that an accident?" "Trouble rolls downhill, Carter. I expected better." She crouched, fingertips pressed into the earth, surveying losses, the ruined cucumbers, the trampled gap, the shallow slide marks. She rose with the certainty of someone tallying deductions. "Fair play, yes?" she said, English hard and careful. "Not this." Mara's sandals hit the steps behind him. She took in the scene in a glance, wreckage, Ed, Mrs. Alvarez poised like a sentinel. Without a word to Alvarez, she fixed Ed with a look that felt both old and new, disappointed, heavy, and with a low flare of anger. "Inside," she said, voice low and final. In the fluorescent hush of their kitchen, Mara closed the door behind them, not slamming but sealing the air. She stood, arms folded, her foot tapping in small, sharp rhythms. The silence roared. "Do you know what you just did?" Her voice trembled, iron running under the fatigue. "You handed off your mistake like a file you lost at work, hoping nobody'd notice until it ruined a morning." Ed opened his mouth, defense on his lips, but she shook her head. "Don't. You didn't fix anything, just exported the cost. And it's not the first time I've watched you trade guilt for silence, hoping it'll go away." A memory stung, layoffs, cost cuts, the hollow justifications left scrawled in margin notes. He pressed his palm to the counter, pen lost, hands empty. "You fix this," Mara said, her voice finally softening. "Tonight, you start with an apology and take down every piece of that thing." "I married a man who built things, not just barriers." He bowed his head, throat stinging. "I will," he managed. The old habit, making lists, itemizing, flickered but failed to satisfy. For once, the next step wasn't about mending data, but something bruised and living. A sudden pop and fizz from the backyard made them both jump. The garden lights blinked, then died with a collective gasp. A high-pitched whine crescendoed, then snapped, followed by a heavy, wet hissing. Ed flung the door open in time to see sparks twirl over the basil, a mess of orange cord chewed through by the trap's wheel. The last protest of the extension cable triggered a domino. With the system down, the sprinklers all vented at once, jets of water billowing over the fence to Alvarez's compost pile. Her headlamp wheeled wildly through the dark. And poor Mr. Whisket, caught in the crossfire, bolted across the grass, freshly soaked, vanishing beneath a bush with a sputter of feline curses. The whole lawn steamed, runoff pooling, while electronics snapped and blinked out, defeated. Mara stepped to Ed's side, her steadiness returning by force of habit. Words failed both of them. They watched chaos burn out, nothing left but the hum of misplaced ambition. Later, after towels mopped the worst, after shuffling circuit breakers and replacing batteries, after Mrs. Alvarez's porch dimmed into black warning, Ed and Mara lay awake, staring through one another into the darkness. The ceiling fan circled, slow and breathy. "You won," Mara said at last, a whisper, weighted with something he hoped was not resignation. "No," he breathed, gutted. The word wobbled in the space between them before settling. Minutes floated, the clock's faint tick, the gutter's soft, uneven drip, a sound like regret carving through the quiet. Above it all, Ed's mind assembled a new inventory. Mend the fence, apologize, replace Alvarez's cucumbers, call Dylan for tips on rabbit-resistant vines. None of it was surrender. It felt instead like truce. Salvaging, not controlling. Outside, thunder rumbled distantly, unsure whether to break again. Circuits flickered alive one by one. Ed closed his eyes, letting disorder roll through him. He'd chased order, found entropy, and survived. For tonight, that was enough. Somewhere out in the thick summer grass, under a toppled trellis, a groundhog munched on borrowed cucumber without a care in the world. Victory, in this version, had a furred face and perfect timing. Ed woke before the alarm, the echo of last night's disaster ricocheting through his chest. The house felt hollow, absence hanging where the clink of Mara's mug and the burble of coffee should have been. A slow fan churned overhead, brushing the silence with a metallic sigh. Dawn seeped in, unforgiving and blue, striping the yard with the evidence of defeat. Toppled tripods, cords blackened and tangled, a sprinkler twisted sideways in bed-raggled grass. He jammed on his jacket, slipped his hand around the claw hammer, and shuffled out. The dew slunk up his cuffs as he pried loose the warped conveyor chute, a rig more shameful now by daylight. Each nail's high squeal bit at his nerves. With every yank, memory flashed, the groundhog cartwheeling into Mrs. Alvarez's cucumbers, the thud of broken vines, the look on Mara's face, too tired, too knowing. At 7:10, crisp knuckles chopped through the morning. Mrs. Alvarez stood at the porch steps, neon gloves clamped around a battered colander that overflowed with ravaged cucumbers, skins torn, seeds spilling like tiny white scars. "Evidence," she announced, holding out the bowl as if presenting the results of a failed science fair. "I assume you want to log your fallout." Her vowels pressed tight, barely masking a simmering amusement. Ed braced himself. "I'm sorry, Mrs. Alvarez. I meant to send him away, not..." She cut him off with a half-laugh and shake of her silver-sprung visor. "Intent doesn't mulch the soil, Carter. Plants need care, not intentions." Setting the colander on the porch rail, she flipped open her dog-eared notebook, logged the date, cucumbers lost, then snapped it shut, a verdict delivered in one neat line. "Fix your fence. After that, see me. We'll settle this neighbor to neighbor." She spun on her heel and retreated, the colander glinting behind her. The screen door whined. Mara appeared, cardigan tugged tight, eyes shadowed with sleep, but steady as bedrock. Slash less. She swept her gaze across the battlefield of mangled gadgets, then to the bruised heap of cucumbers. "Rough morning?" she said, voice low but not unsympathetic. Ed tried to muster a grin. It cracked in the middle. "That's one word for it. I'll patch things up with her." He searched her face for accusation or pity and found only patience. "I promise." She brushed a thumb over his jaw, swiping away a streak of mud. "Start by listening, Ed. And eat before you pass out mid-penance." He choked down half a bowl of oatmeal under her watchful stillness, then crossed next door. Mrs. Alvarez met him at the gate, pruning shears snick-snicking through what remained of her vines. Their deal came quickly. Ed would deliver replacement seedlings in spring, restring her trellis, and manage next month's load of manure for her beds. Her nod was businesslike, a treaty, not a truce. 3 hours later, as if summoned by the hush, the groundhog reappeared, shuffling along Ed's destroyed basil. There were no barriers left, just two tired combatants, each eyeing the other without pretense. Ed half lifted his hand, realized he had nothing left to demand, and let it drop. The animal eyed him, then slipped easily through the loose plank, one Ed had failed to resecure in his earlier frenzy. That simple withdrawal stung more than sabotage. Methodically, Ed broke down every last defense. The sensor lights, the tripods, the stiff orange cords, he wound, folded, packed them onto a mud-streaked tarp. Dead spots showed where wires had burned the grass. He hauled the mess into the garage, shutting the echo of plastic, damp, and regret behind the door. That evening, Mara set a lone, puckered tomato on the kitchen windowsill. Its skin had shriveled inwards, holding the shape of something rescued too late. It became a silent bystander, watching Ed rinse mugs, mark the edges of his days, register each defeat with a tiny skip of his thumb against his palm. 2 days later, he drove back to Wildwood Garden Center. The lot was mostly empty, air tinged with cold and peat. Inside, Dylan materialized behind a rack of watering cans, sleeves marbled with more algae than paint. "Heard your backyard rig came undone." Dylan's grin was warm, but his eyes held real sympathy. "Spectacular failure, apparently." Ed's shoulders sagged, each word weighted with an extra ounce of humility. "I need advice, something that doesn't need batteries or approval from Homeland Security." "Peace offering?" Dylan said brightly, steering Ed down an aisle stacked with lush greens. "Set aside a decoy bed, clover, turnip, whatever's easy and tasty. Critter gets his fill, you get your tomatoes. Easier to draw a border than fight a war." Ed examined a packet of crimson clover. "Feels like admitting defeat," he muttered. "Nah," Dylan replied easily, pressing several seed packets and a bundle of straw into Ed's arms. "It's paying rent to a persistent tenant. Just keep his pantry stocked, and he'll mostly stick to his own lane. You want ease, not another spreadsheet full of grievances." Ed hesitated, running his thumb over the crinkly plastic. Maybe giving in wasn't giving up, just reorganizing the fight. On the way to the register, Dylan added a bonus. "Take the mulch. Make it comfortable. Trust me, he'll eat what's easy. Driving home, Ed rehearsed a new script. Less apology, more realignment. That night, he joined Mara on the back steps, September air sharp in his lungs. He set the seed packets between them on the peeling boards. A parley. He left the word hanging, formal but hopeful. Mara turned a packet over, tracing its bright green cover. Setting a treaty with the enemy? Her lips twitched, half a smile. Trying to keep the peace, at least outside. He glanced at her, then away. And I think it's time I put away the traps. For good. She nudged him with her shoulder, relief softening her features. Let's call it a detente. Fall swept in with brisk efficiency. Weekends filled with leaf piles and the business of closure. Hoses drained, chairs scrubbed and stored, beds mulched for winter. In the far, forgotten corner, the decoy patch pushed up with improbable speed, an emerald blanket of clover and squat turnip leaves. Ed caught glimpses of the groundhog at dawn, snuffling contentedly. His old spreadsheet now read, Groundhog, East Bed, 728, no tomato loss. Each entry felt less like a battle report, more like tracking weather. Late in October, Ed wheeled a load of pungent compost across to Mrs. Alvarez's garden. She watched, arms crossed, but eyes less severe now. When he raked the last handful around her kale, she gave a grudging nod of approval. Look at that, she observed. Carter finally brings life, not destruction. He dusted his hands, grinning. Lessons learned. Yours stick better than my chicken wire ever did. She lifted a thermos. Next time, bring decent coffee. We'll strategize pests, not wage war. Inside, Mara's fidgeting ebbed, her hands settled, tension eased in quiet increments. Evenings grew quieter. Sometimes they sat near the window, the wrinkled tomato watching from its ledge, neither threw it out. It became a kind of badge, not exactly triumph, not quite penance. November bit down, first heavy frost silvering everything Ed had neglected. Unused sprinkler heads, the final stake tripods, a segment of long dead wire, each gleamed in the weak dawn, crystalline and delicate, relics in repose. He stepped out, boots crunching, fog spooling around his knees. Groundhog tracks looped through the decoy bed, a soft trail leading under the tool shed before fading into white. As he brushed icy beads from the sprinkler, a lost ornament in the grass, Ed felt the last grip of ambition loosen. He left the relics as they were, half tribute, half warning. He turned, cold biting beneath his collar, to where morning light pooled on the porch. Mara's silhouette waited, coffee mug steaming. The house, beaten by seasons, still stood. Winter would draw its veil, a truce, not an ending. Under frozen earth, all roots and grudges would bide their time. But for now, silence draped the garden, forgiving and full, a promise, or perhaps just the hush before hope's next reawakening. Snow came early that December, laying down a gentle hush over the yard. The battered fence posts and stooped sprinkler heads wore icy crowns in the morning sun. Ed stood at the window, mug forgotten in his grip, watching how frost filigreed the remnants of last year's struggle. Where wires once bristled and tripods stabbed the earth, only mute outlines puckered the white. For days at a stretch, no tracks marred the surface, no sign of groundhog nor human ambition, just the even weight of winter, smoothing everything sharp. Inside, Ed drifted from closet to closet, sorting through the detritus of a work life already shrinking at the edges. Suits in dry cleaner bags he'd never wear again, ties of desperate colors, stacks of file folders marked archive in block penmanship. Mara moved quietly through his orbit, pausing now and then to rest a reassuring hand on his shoulder. One crisp afternoon, she intercepted him mid-sort, her fingers closing gently around an ancient spreadsheet for forklift maintenance. Instead of teasing, she slipped it onto the discard stack, and Ed, cheeks warming, let it go. Evenings slid by early, the sky bruising violet, wind rattling loose blinds. Ed fished his old thermos from a cabinet, scrubbing away dust, and took to sitting out on the porch in his thickest jacket, steam feathering from the open cap. Alone but for the low hiss of traffic, he thumbed through a battered seed catalog stashed in his pocket, a relic of warmer intentions. The glossy photos of green beans and sun-yellow squash seemed both a promise and an accusation. By late January, a garden club flyer appeared on the kitchen table, its headlines cheery and matter-of-fact. Mara had left it there without a word. Ed squinted at workshop topics, composting, orchard care, pruning for airflow. Not a whiff of miracle cures, just sturdy, slow solutions. He signed up for every session, sometimes scrawling both their names without asking, and Mara never objected. Saturday evenings found them in a low-ceilinged rec hall smelling faintly of old wax and carrot cake, ringed with thumb-tacked seed packets and crocheted banners. The group was mostly retirees and practical folks, their voices weaving through the chilly air with talk of ratios and soil amendments. Ed listened, notebook balanced on his knee, letting the methodical details anchor him. Mara shared farm wisdom in her calm, sure way, bits about eggshells for slugs and coffee grounds for nitrogen. Her humor drew laughter, an undertow of warmth that naturally included him. During one workshop, a club member launched into a long story about groundhog sabotage. Head swiveled his direction. Instead of bristling, Ed tipped his mug and confessed, "He won, fair and square." The room's laughter felt like an absolution. Mara reached for his hand, squeezing once beneath the table. Winter edged on, slow, spare, and ice-bitten. Each week, Ed checked the garden for signs. No footprints, no tunnels, just the crisp silence of undisturbed snow. The absence was both mercy and rebuke. On Sundays, he trailed Mara to Mrs. Alvarez's yard. Alvarez, formidable in turquoise parka and neon gloves, stomped out through the snow with a canvas satchel pinned under one arm. From under her tarp, she pulled a neat collection of hand-labeled seed packets. Peas, kale, lettuce, old favorites annotated with meticulous notes in English and Spanish. She handed them to Ed across the fence with a look that brooked no argument. "Think of it as a test," she commanded, eyes sharp but not unkind. "No contraptions this time. Grow them like you mean it." Ed's reply was rough with humility. "No more tricks. I'll do it right." For a fleeting moment, something like a smile flashed on Alvarez's face. Mara, cheeks windburned and eyes bright, grinned at both of them. They stood together for a few silent breaths, watching the sun carve diamonds from the banked snow. As winter retreated, Ed found peace in small, human labors, topping up the bird feeder, clearing storm-broken limbs, bundling compost in paper bags. He learned to savor the tang of cold air on his tongue, the hush broken only by chickadees or Mara's laughter drifting from the kitchen. Each gesture was modest, an offering to the season's patience rather than a demand for progress. By mid-March, the ice melted faster in the corners, and hope spread in squelchy patches. Sunlight stuck longer each day. Ed opened the shed and unearthed battered tools, the spade with the weathered handle, the garden string, the soft leather gloves already stiff with old sweat. All winter, he'd hoarded seed catalogs in Alvarez's envelopes. Now he leafed through them with methodical care, dusting off the part of himself that still believed in fresh starts. He waited for the right morning, a bright one, robin chatter sharp, damp streaming off the fence. Together, he and Mara knelt on the softening earth where weeds and failure had ruled. They sheeted cardboard across last fall's wreckage, shoveled over rich, black compost as a kind of quiet benediction. The air was alive with the bite of loam and thawed possibility. They rebuilt one bed near the back fence where soft morning sun pooled, staking out generous rows for Alvarez's seeds. At the far end, Ed left a patch wide and wild, a sanctuary for the groundhog and his kin. The contest was over. Accommodation was the order, at least for now. Alvarez appeared, as she always did, bracketing her lessons with sly, coaxing challenges. She scolded Ed's tendency to pack the soil too hard. He rolled his eyes, bowing gracefully. The old rivalry softened into something more bracing, a chorus between two stubborn believers. Sometimes Alvarez would pause, notebook in hand, to praise his progress as if the marks earned were real. Mara, quick with encouragement but strict about hand-washing before lunch, let her own authority seep through in small, knowing asides. April brought the garden club to their yard, three spry retirees in windbreakers, laughter bubbling under cautious questions. Bernice, their unofficial recorder, snapped photos for the club's newsletter. Ed explained the logic of his new layout, omitting the failed defensive strategies. Talk hopped from pests, slugs for Lester, raccoons for Bernice, to crop rotation and compost. Mara brought out iced tea. The group claimed the porch, swapping stories until dusk. All the while, Ed glanced to the patch beside the shed, keeping quiet vigil. The groundhog returned as if on cue, brown fur gleaming in the slanted sun, belly low as it nosed through the clover left for it. Ed caught its eye, just for a second, in a shared, wary recognition. No chase, no challenge, only the unhurried certainty of coexistence. By May, the beds were jungled with peas, lettuce, and thick, curly kale. Alvarez occasionally poked her head into Ed's domain, tossing new onion sets with a brief wave, her way of approving. Garden club regulars stopped by, trading gossip for a glimpse at Ed's so-called open border. The days grew dense and green. The old burn of loss faded into the background hum of summer's work. On a June morning, when the world seemed washed and new, Ed pulled out four sturdy tomato seedlings, gifts from Dylan at Wildwood, one last wink from the exuberant youth. He and Mara knelt together in the hush, spades in hand, each movement unhurried. The sun crept over the fence top, dazzling beads of water on everything living. Ed dug a hole, settled a seedling, pressed the soil with careful open hands. Mara followed with a rinse of fish emulsion, her face calm, hair escaping her ponytail. They worked wordlessly, the kind of silence that says everything. Grief shed, labor shared, hope emboldened, but realistic. When the last plant settled, Ed rose, the bones in his knees muttering their displeasure. Mara laughed softly and dusted his shoulder. For a lingering minute, they stood together, surveying their work. Near the shed, a half-eaten radish gleamed in the morning dew, teeth marks bright as clues, proof that their midnight guest still claimed his fee. Ed bent to pick it up, turning it over in his palm. "Cheeky, isn't he?" he murmured. Mara smiled, her tone half mocking but fond. "At least he leaves us some. It's almost generous." Ed let the radish drop into the compost bin, its fate sealed among spent leaves. "He's part of it now. I suppose we all are." He caught Mara's gaze, the old rivalry between need and relinquishment flickering briefly, then subsiding. Side by side, they gathered their tools, the sun splashing gold over the new tomato plants, a fragile promise, trembling but rooted. Behind them, the yard bristled with the quiet, ordinary tension of things allowed to grow, mischief and all, under a truce stitched one day, one small mercy at a time. High July sun slid across the yard like a spotlight, catching every serrated leaf and making the marigolds flare electric. Bees worked the basil in slow loops, peas rattled their bamboo ladders, and the tomatoes, shoulders broad, crowns of yellow blossom, looked as if they'd been lifted from a seed catalog centerfold. It was tour day. Ed Carter, plaid short sleeve already dark at the armpits, waited by the front gate, pen flicking against his palm. Mara balanced a sweating pitcher of mint tea on a tray, her nurse's poise wrapped in an easy smile that told guests they were welcome, and if necessary, she could triage fainting spells. A steady trickle of visitors followed the flagstone walk, silver-haired club regulars comparing knee braces, two young couples fresh from the farmer's market, and a pair of restless grade schoolers promised educational fun. "You've no idea how many folks want to see the comeback kid," Bernice the photographer teased, camera already up. Ed mustered a modest nod. "Any glory belongs to the worms." Across the lawn, Mrs. Alvarez stationed herself beside an immaculate row of peppers. Neon gloves dangled from her apron pocket, notebook tucked like a badge beneath her arm. She'd arrived an hour early, dispensing final orders with the authority of a beloved but terrifying lab instructor. Precisely at 2, Mara pressed the brass dinner bell Ed had bolted to a trellis. The tour was on. Conversation dimmed to a chapel hush as guests stepped into the green corridor. Onion greens fanning like cattails, herbs perfuming the heat, tomato vines leaning forward as if eavesdropping. Pride rose in Ed's chest, then stalled. He could still taste last year's fiasco, all wire and regret. Today, though, the rose looked clean, generous, alive. Dylan burst through the gate 10 minutes late, sunflower bandana askew, burlap sack swinging from one hand. Traffic, man, sorry. Holy chlorophyll, look at this place. Ed grinned despite himself. Skipping a shift? Traded for it. Dylan pressed the sack into Ed's arms, surplus seeds, keep the party growing. The group eased along the beds while Mara narrated. Interplanting marigolds for nematodes, coffee grounds for soil acid, patience for everything else. Every so often, she flicked Ed a glance, half pride, half warning not to start counting leaves in public. Near a folding table heaped with fruit salad, an elderly man in a straw hat lifted a forkful of melon, froze, and squinted at the basil. "Something's moving," a wide-eyed girl squeaked, tugging her mother's hand. Heads turned. Even Alvarez's pen paused midair. From behind the bean trellis waddled the groundhog, sleek now, summer fat, whiskers quivering with entitlement. It blinked at the semicircle of humans, then ambled straight to a tomato plant where a single blush-red fruit sagged near the mulch. No one breathed. Sweat slid down Ed's spine, his grip whitened around a watering can. He could feel the old reflex, drive it off, defend the rose, but the memory of traps, wires, and neighborly rage pulsed like a warning migraine. The groundhog cupped the tomato, took one wet, decisive bite. Juice dribbled along its chin like stolen wine. Silence cracked. Ed's laugh slipped out, small, startled, and oddly light. He set the can down, lifted his plastic cup of iced tea in salute. "Welcome back, partner," he said loudly enough for everyone to hear. Ripples of nervous laughter followed. Dylan slapped his knee. Mara's shoulders dropped, relief softening her smile. Behind a tomato cage, Mrs. Alvarez released a short, approving grunt. "Sharing the harvest now, are we?" Dylan called. "Cheaper than more gadgets," Ed replied. "I plant extra." He takes a service fee. The animal polished off the tomato, waddled to the clover patch by the shed, and vanished into shadow. The tour exhaled as one. A retired librarian fanned herself with the brochure. The straw hat gentleman finally tasted his melon. Alvarez stepped into view, eyebrow arched. "You surrendered a perfect specimen." "Tuition?" Ed said. "The universe charges what it wants." She tapped her notebook's margin. "Growth noted, in plants and people." Mara offered her a tea. They clinked cups. Chatter revived. Children chased butterflies. The younger couples posed for selfies by the kale. Ed drifted along the perimeter, checking soil with a fingertip he no longer trusted more than the weather, and felt something uncoiled inside him. Mara appeared, dabbed sweat from his temple with a linen napkin. "How's the pulse?" "Steady. Lost one tomato, kept my dignity. Fair trade." She brushed dirt from his sleeve. "Took you 23 years in logistics to learn that." Bernice rallied everyone for a group photo beside the towering trellis. Alvarez adjusted her visor. Dylan ducked in, waving a carrot like a microphone. "Say, tomato! Tomato!" At the shutter's click, a rustle sounded behind the shed, an unmistakable grunt, as if the groundhog insisted on its cameo. The semicircle broke into easy laughter. The afternoon sagged toward dusk. Guests sampled Mara's iced cookies, swapped pruning hacks, and promised cuttings later in the season. One by one they trickled away, sandals scuffing the walk, until only Alvarez remained. She handed Ed a flawless cucumber. "Plant extra clover next spring," she advised. "Keeps him busy." "Deal. Sunday for compost? 7 sharp. She nodded, satisfied, and retreated to her own beds. Inside, bowls clattered into the sink. Ed pressed a cold soda to his cheek while Mara loosed her hair from its clip. She nodded toward the half-eaten tomato abandoned in mulch. Trash or tribute? Let the ants have it, he said. Everybody eats. They settled on the porch steps, shoulders touching, light stretching long and gold across the beds. From the clover patch came a brief shuffle. Their uninvited tenant was already back at work. Mara twirled the hem of her shirt, that familiar tell. Think you're finally done waging war? Ed squeezed her hand. I'm retired, remember? He lifted his glass. To midsummer. She clinked hers against it, and to whatever comes digging tomorrow. They drank, letting the yard hum. Bees at the marigolds, leaves whispering, a distant mower fading like applause at the end of a play. Control had slipped through his fingers, and the world hadn't ended. It had, in fact, grown wider, room enough for roots, laughter, and one cheeky project manager in fur. Somewhere beyond the fence, a tomato thief plotted his next heist, and Ed found he was already smiling at the thought. Thank you for choosing A Story Publishing.